Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars. Good evening. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast as we roll into episode 156. Monday night, October 25th, and we're 2 weeks into the National Hockey League season. And Blake, I don't know how you've been, but in the first 2 weeks, I've watched probably more than I have any other year.
Yeah, no, I watched Toronto and Carolina tonight. I had the weekend off. We didn't play any games this weekend, which is nice. We had the showcase in the middle of the week down in Chilliwack. That was good. So I got some time to watch some games Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and watched the Canucks in Seattle. What a crazy atmosphere that was! That was a really good hockey game, and I watched a lot of hockey over the weekend.
You know, it's funny because every year I have my favorite teams that I watch, and I think every fan, every serious hockey fan, does. I found this year that a lot of my favorite teams to watch have changed.
Not your favorite team. Finding myself watching a lot of Florida Panthers.
Well, yeah, I mean, we watch our favorite team. But, like, outside of that, there's other teams, like, in years past, I won't watch them for anything. Like, I never.
You know what game I watched yesterday? Detroit Red Wings game. That Lucas Raymond's good.
I just my five teams that I never ever used to watch that I'm watching this year: Florida, Detroit, Ottawa, Minnesota, and Anaheim.
Yeah, and that's gonna be one of my questions. Actually, it's about kind of the teams on the rise with young cores. That Anaheim's got some good young talent with some veterans mixed in. Minnesota, I don't know. I don't think you could pay me to watch a Minnesota Wild game.
They're different. They're different now.
Kaprizov he's good, but like I don't know.
It's a little.
You know who's a good team though? It's Carolina. Oh boy.
Yeah, they're good.
That's. Whew.
Yeah,
they're good. They just smother you. They just like. Toronto had no answer for them.
You know, so does the New York Islanders. I watched them play Vegas last night, and it was 2-0. I'm like, this is over. There is no way with the way the Islanders play.
And the way that the Vegas hasn't been scoring, I mean, you get a 2-0 lead on Vegas, it's almost game over.
That's crazy.
They can't score. They can't score goals.
Yeah. It's crazy. This weekend, went to two junior hockey games, and it was fun because
Toros?
Yeah, and they had a special event on Saturday night called Trunk or Treat, and I helped put it on and or helped sponsor it, actually. And one of our great listeners, Jamie Hyatt, he put it on, and it was a great event. And almost 1,000 people, just under 1,000 people showed up, and it was all in the parking lot, and it wasn't really great weather. It was cold and windy, but I mean, it went off and it was great, and kids got a ton of candy, and it was just a ton of fun. And then the Toros went on to sweep the number one team in the division. So
Aberdeen?
No, Austin's number one this year.
Oh, really?
And you should have seen on Friday night, it was a total shit show. With 3 minutes to go, they were down 5-3 and 1-6-5.
Toros did.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Unbelievable.
Are they good this year?
I don't know. One weekend they're good, and then the next weekend they're not. So this is definitely a move in the right direction this weekend. So, it was pretty interesting. Interesting officiating. As a player for Austin comes off the bench to fight, and there's not even a penalty on it.
Leaving the bench?
He left the bench. Nope, nothing. Gets a fighting instigator. It's okay, I guess. We'll just overlook the fact that you were sixth man out there.
That might be reviewed.
It's not, because the league said, well, it's not on film. We can't see all six players in the ice. Although the player skated by the linesman. I don't know. Sums up some of the officiating we see around. But that's a topic for another day, right?
We can do a whole podcast on that.
We could.
Whole episode.
On today's show, we're going to talk about, we're 2 weeks into the season now, and we're going to talk about the positive things we've seen with teams and players and the negative things we've seen with teams and players. Then we'll go around the league, talk about some dirty vets, COVID crap, Kotkaniemi, Eichel, and crazy plays in the league this week. Blake, let's go a positive first here, because let's keep everything positive tonight, and we'll have more positives to talk about than negatives, believe it or not, because there's been some really cool stuff in the league this season so far, and perfect teams. Did you think that we would have four perfect teams? And if I would have had you name the four perfect teams, I would have bet $1 million you wouldn't have got it right.
Florida doesn't surprise me.
No, now they're 5-0. That doesn't surprise me. Carolina's 5-0.
Carolina, that didn't surprise me.
No, St. Louis surprises me.
And so does Edmonton.
And Edmonton does too. Even though I think Edmonton's a good hockey team, but 5-0.
That's good.
Yeah. Edmonton's really good, but 5-0 is 5-0, man.
Yeah, and their Mike Smith got hurt too, so that's even a little more impressive.
So how does that change things in Edmonton? Well, let's talk about that.
It depends how long he's out for. I mean, you kind of saw Koskinen go on a stretch last year. We had to start, 11 games in a row? And he started okay, and he kind of faded off towards the end of that stretch. But it doesn't seem like Mike Smith is out for too long, maybe another week or so. I was reading today in an article on The Athletic. But, Koskinen's played okay.
Who did Edmonton play just the other night?
It was Vegas.
Koskinen was in.
It was a good hockey game.
It was a good hockey game. I just couldn't remember.
Zach Kassian scored a goal late on a breakaway there.
Does everybody still want to kill him? Because he is just a numbskull.
He's off to a good start.
He is, because he was
in five games.
He was a complete no-show last year. No-show.
He came ready to play. I mean, he had that scary injury in the preseason, and he's coming out flying.
So how much do you think that has to do with having fans in the building?
For players like Cassian, that's huge. I mean, you feed off that. You make a big hit, you get excited, fans get behind you. I mean, as a hockey fan, you really didn't realize, you appreciate how important the fans are now, that the buildings are full and stuff like that. It's all the Canadian buildings are full now. I think Vancouver.
Wait, hang on a second. That's something I was going to talk to you about. I'm just going to stop the Edmonton talk for 1 second. We're going to get back to it, though, because there's a lot of talk about Edmonton. I was going to ask you this in the intro, and I actually had it written down, and I skipped right over. Toronto did not sell at the first game. Calgary was Toronto was 2,000 short. Calgary was 2,000 short. Ottawa has been more than 2,000 short. Is there a reason for concern in Canada when markets such as Toronto are not selling out?
Tickets are too expensive. My dad's in Toronto right now, and he went to the Toronto Sharks game. I think he paid like $250 to go to the game. Like, it's outrageous to go. Like, how do you expect a diehard fan to go to the game and afford tickets if, like, you take a family of four, it's like fucking $1,000.
But Blake, it's been like that for like 10 years, dude.
And another reason,
I'm talking with COVID.
Maybe people don't want to get the vaccine and then don't want to go. I don't know.
Well, that's probably a factor.
So I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see how that plays out this year, because
and maybe it's just like people are a little too afraid to get back into that setting. But like,
do you think so? Because I don't think people are at all.
A little bit, but Canada's been so sheltered in this pandemic, like they haven't been able to do anything. So it's kind of surprising that fans aren't willing to go out and and go to a game and do stuff. But it's like, there's such strict laws here. Like, you have to have, like, even in BC, like, you go to a restaurant, you got to show your COVID vaccine, your COVID, your ID and stuff like that. So it's a lot of extra stuff that it's just a hassle, but it's going to be something that we're going to have to live with for a while now, I think.
I sure as hell hope not.
It's not going away, especially here. Like, I don't see any restrict. Like, yeah, there's a 100% capacity in all these Canadian buildings, but I mean, you're still going to have to show your COVID vaccine and your proof of vaccination everywhere you go. So,
which seems really credible since 50% of the people getting it have the vaccine. That seems pretty credible. Okay, so Florida's 5-0. We kind of saw that, and we both were really high on Florida. I think I had them going to the conference finals.
I have them going to the Cup.
Yeah, you have them going to the Cup. I love watching this team top to bottom. It's just good. Spencer Knight's off to a great start, which I predicted, and you did too. You pegged him as having a really good year this year too. But
yeah,
just a dynamic team to watch, and it's fun that they've kind of taken a couple other teams' retreads. One being Sam Bennett from Calgary, and kind of made those players rejuvenate their career. And then when you pair them with a Barkov and a Huberdeau, things just go crazy. This is a good hockey team.
I really love the addition of Sam Reinhart too. Mm-hmm. I mean,
both Sams.
He's a good, like, he's a guy that can, if you need him to play in the middle, you can put him in the middle. He can play the wing. He's a very versatile guy, top six forward. 5.6 games where Hagee's got 5 points in five games. Sam Bennett's got 5 points in five games. He's got four goals. Huberdeau leading the way with 6 points. They have, like, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 guys already over a point a game. Duclair has 4 goals in 6 games. Like, the depth of this team is just off the charts. I mean, you can throw any line out there, and I'd be like, yeah, okay. Like, this line could score.
Yeah.
Like, it's – every single line is very good, and it's nice to see a market like Florida go out and trade for guys like Sam Reinhart and go out and get a Sam Bennett. It shows that they're willing to pay these guys and be a competitive team. And I mean, you see the fans come. Like, when Florida's good, they're going to get fans, and I hope that can continue, because you saw in the playoffs a few years ago and when they're throwing the rats on the ice, that's actually a pretty good hockey market when they're good. You know what I mean?
It's a horrible hockey market. It's a horrible sports market.
When they're good, though.
Yeah, but teams can't stay good forever, Blake.
No, I know, but...
Like, I'm serious. Like, it is still a problem. And I love this team, and I'm not trying to drag a Debbie Downer on them, but it is the truth. This team starts losing, and these fans are bolting, man. I mean,
And that's tough.
And you can't win every year. So, like, they're going to have to enjoy it now, because this is a good hockey team.
Oh, yeah. It's probably one of the best teams they've had in quite some time.
Carolina. They're off to a 5-0 start as they knock off Toronto tonight. I believe it was 5-1. Impressive.
Freddie Anderson.
Oh, wasn't that wonderful to watch, though? I mean,
oh, it was great. Just shoved it right down their face in the second period.
You know, but this team's not just good up front. This team's good on the back end. And then I think that's really where this team excels.
They made some questionable moves. Like, when they traded Nedeljkovic, I was like, what is going on with this team? But then they go and get Freddie Anderson. It's like,
I get that.
Kind of see where they're going here. And then they obviously Kotkaniemi. Not a fan of that, but I mean, he seems to be fitting in okay. But yeah, they're just so well coached. I mean, in five games, they've only allowed 8 goals. So was Freddie Anderson really the problem in Toronto? No. Probably not. It's the team in front of them. And that was pretty indicative today that Carolina just took it to the Leafs. I don't know what's going on in Toronto. I mean, we're going to touch on them later. I got a question.
We are going to talk later, about them
three
later.
Questions, but I don't know, man. It's whatever's cooking in there and the locker room chemistry, it can't be good.
Tarasenko looks like he's about 23 years old again, and St. Louis is off to a 4-0-0 start. And I picked St. Louis to make the playoffs this year. I thought they were going to have, like, a slight rebound year. But, boy, I guess I didn't see them being this solid of a hockey team this early on.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see like what happens and how long they can stay this good.
You think they still want to move Tarasenko?
I don't know. What's that?
You think they still want to move Tarasenko?
I don't know. It'll be interesting. I don't know.
I think they do. I think they still want to move that dollar, and now that he's playing good, they actually probably have an opportunity to maybe do that. Edmonton 5-0-0. Smith's injured. McDavid and Draisaitl are rock solid. 1-2 in points to start the season. McDavid with 13, Draisaitl with 11. They also, McDavid is a leader right now, unless it's changed tonight. Now, as of this morning, he was the leaders in goal, assists, and points. So these guys are off the charts. And Edmonton looks like a really, really good hockey team.
Yeah, Edmonton is going to be, I mean, obviously you're going to have those top two guys producing, right? McDavid, Draisaitl, Hyman's off to a really good start.
They're getting more production throughout the lineup, though, Blake.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. Like Hyman's got 4 goals his last 2 games. Nugent Hopkins looks like he's rejuvenated on that second line. Yamamoto's fitting in well with that second line. You look at him on paper at the start of the season, it's like, oh, I don't know about this team, but they've really shown me that they're a really deep hockey team. We'll see what their back end. I'm not really a fan of that second pairing with CeCe and Duncan Keith, but we'll see. Be interesting to see what happens.
You know, another real, real positive in the league this year is the complete Metro Division. And you look at this division, and it is off the charts. You got Carolina leading the division, 5-0-0. Washington right behind them, 4-0-2. The Rangers have been solid, although they lost to Calgary tonight, 5-1. They're 4-2-1. They've been solid. Pittsburgh's 3-0-2. They're solid. Every team, Philadelphia, is in last place. And they're 2-1-1. They've got 5 points in 4 games, and they're in last. That's crazy.
Yeah, I picked 5 teams to come out of this division in the playoffs, and it's looking so good. Looking so far, so good for that. Pittsburgh 3-0-2 start without Crosby, Malkin, Letang, Rust, Gensel. Pretty damn impressive.
And they've outscored their opponents 23-12 this year. They're a plus 11 in 5 games.
Yeah, but 7 those came against Toronto, so that's a little bit.
I know. I don't care, though.
Well, 7 of those came in 1 game.
You know, Carolina's plus 14, Washington's plus 10. Like, wow. Like,
again, Washington 8 goals today. So, like, there's been a couple big games in there for the plus minus to go up, but. I like the Rangers so far. They're getting decent goaltending. That Rangers Toronto Maple Leafs game was really wild. That overtime game, one of the best games so far this season. But this division is going to be competitive most of the year.
You know, and you shift on over the Atlantic division. You have Buffalo at 4-1-1. They've got 9 points in 6 games. I guarantee there was nobody that saw this thing coming.
I totally picked them to win 4 of their first 6.
Yeah. Unreal. And Detroit doesn't look bad either. They're 3-2-1. They've got 7 points in 6 games, and they're not a pushover like they used to be either.
No. They do. I'm a big fan of Moritz Seider. I said it in the – we made our predictions earlier. I think he's going to be a stud for them on the back end. Lucas Raymond – got a hat trick last night in his 6th game of the season. You got Larkin in there. You got Nedeljkovic back there. Hey, I really like what Stevie Wise got going here. You know, it's going to be a while till they get to the playoffs, but they're on the right track for sure.
You know, and you look at the Western Conference and you look at that Central Division. We talked about St. Louis, but Minnesota 4-1-0 to get going, and that's without Kirill Kaprizov even scoring a goal.
Yeah, he got what, 4 assists?
Yeah, like 3 or 4. Maybe. Yeah,
he got. I know he got 3 in 1 game,
but he has no goals, and I mean,
no.
That's some pretty good. That's a pretty good record considering your main gun isn't scoring right now.
Yeah.
Dallas 3-3-0. This division is struggling mightily, but the Pacific, there's a couple teams that have been a little bit of a surprise over there. As San Jose's sitting at 4-1-0, and me and you both pretty much threw them to the dumpster during the prediction show, and we looked.
Yeah, we'll
dumb.
See. A lot is going to rely on how Aiden Hill plays this year. He's played well so far. I'll give him credit.
He has. He's been fine. He's
played well. A former Vancouver draft pick, Jonathan Dallin. He's lighting the league up right now. He's got like 6 points in 5 games, 3 goals.
Carlson looks good this year.
Carlson looks like vintage Carlson so far.
Yeah, but good. Doesn't control game, but looks good.
Not Carlson. Not the Carlson in Ottawa that was winning the Norris, but it's pretty close.
Mm-hmm. Brett Burns has been fine, logging a lot of minutes. And
Couture, it almost seems like the team got a burden lifted off their shoulder when Kane got suspended, and they were just like, okay, we don't have to worry about this guy for 20 games. Let's just go out and play, no distractions, and they're playing well.
Does that change everything in November when he comes back?
I don't know if he's going to come back.
I don't think he will.
Something tells me
that
he gets suspended for the whole season.
How do they change it now? They've already made their decision.
No, like, honestly, this might be fucked up to say. I think, San Jose is like, oh, come on, do something dumb so we can discipline this guy.
Well, they're trying to, I know they've discussed breach of contract and stuff, but evidently that's not going to work.
He broke the protocols and then he got suspended, so he can't really get out of the contract. But I don't know.
It's
a ticking time bomb, in my opinion.
It is. It really is. Another thing that has just been extremely crazy to watch this early in the season, and we touched on it a little bit last week, is how wonderful the rookie production is. You know, Lucas Raymond, 7 points right away, a hat trick last night. Drew O'Connor's got 5 points. I mean, Lundell, you mentioned Mort Sider, how big of a factor he's been. Bowen Byram's been really good. The list goes on and on and on for rookies that are just off the charts this year.
We talked about that in our bowl predictions episode, what kind of rookies are going to have an impact this year. And I'm really high on Mort Sider. I forget which you were high on Shane Pinto from Ottawa.
And he was off to a great start till he got hurt, but it sounds like it's only 2 weeks. So,
right, yeah, Ottawa's like, I don't know.
I mean, some of these rookies, you didn't even know who they were. Like, did you expect Drew O'Connor for Pittsburgh to come out of the gates with 5 points in 4 games? He's a +6. I mean, guys, even honestly, even Bunting in Toronto has been pretty impressive to watch.
Well, I mean, in Bunting's case, you get put on the top line with Matthews and Nylander. I mean, you better be producing, or else you're going to be down on the depth chart. So he's taking an opportunity there. He's kind of ran with it. He's getting some power play time with the Leafs, and be interested to see where it goes.
Yeah, it is crazy. Let's shift gears and go over onto some of the negatives that we've been watching this year. And the first one that comes to mind is the Tampa Bay Lightning. They're 2-3-1. Now, that's not like, oh my gosh, season's over, we're in big trouble. But, you know, they didn't have it last year. But do we finally have a cup hangover?
Yeah, I mean, we might. I mean, the first game of the year, they were down like 6-2 to Detroit and came back and won overtime.
Yeah, that's true.
And then who did they just lose to? That was the Buffalo today, you said?
That was the Buffalo tonight, 5-1. Didn't get to
did
watch
Ryan
it.
Elliott so. Start for them?
I don't know. I didn't see it. I'll watch the highlights after we record tonight. But didn't see it, so I can't comment on it. But, I mean,
let me look here.
Anytime that you're losing games, I mean, they've lost some games. They've been outscored 16-26, so they're -10. When's the last time you even saw Tampa in even close to a minus number? This team just doesn't seem like they have the same get up and go as they have in the previous few seasons.
Yeah, that score is a little bit overshadowed. It was 3-1. They scored 2 empty net goals. Brian Elliott played his first start as a Tampa Bay Lightning, 3 goals on 23 shots. So, hey, good, you know what's a good story? Let's talk about a good story here for a second.
We're in the negative.
Craig Anderson. I forgot to talk about him. Good for him.
Yeah.
I mean, he was on the verge of retiring and got a call from Buffalo late in the offseason.
Can you imagine taking that call? Remember, you imagine sitting down to your wife and being like, hey, last shot at my career.
I can retire or go to Buffalo. Like, dude, against Pittsburgh, 2 goals allowed, 1 goal allowed against Detroit, 1 goal allowed against Montreal, 2 goals allowed against Vancouver, 3 goals against Boston, and tonight against Tampa, he stops 35 of 36. Like, it's off to a really good start. Good for him, because that's an awesome story.
I love stories like that, especially in guys that are such good guys like Craig Anderson is.
Yeah.
It seems like his whole career has been a battle, and he keeps coming through on the good side of it. Toronto, the sun is the sun going to come up there tomorrow? They're off to a 2-4-1 start, and
I know it's only 6 games, but in a marker like this, it feels like 25.
Yeah.
And that's just the pressure that comes with playing in a market like Toronto or a market like Vancouver or Montreal or Calgary or any Canadian market for that matter. Maybe take out maybe Ottawa there for a second. But, I mean, you get off to a bad 10 games, bad 15 games, you're right behind the eight ball, and it's an uphill battle the rest of the way. I can't talk tonight, but Toronto's got a lot of firepower, and for them to be losing like this, the team's too talented for them to be losing this much.
Another talented team that's kind of got a little bit of a struggle bus going on is the Colorado Avalanche. They're 2-3-0, and I don't think this is going to last. I mean, by no means am I writing off the Avalanche, but it is a little bit surprising. I look at this roster, and I'm like, holy cow, they've added Darcy Kemper to solidify that. There's just so much going for this team. It's a little surprising they're off to a little bit of a slow start to get going.
McKinnon missed, 2 games with COVID. Landeskog was suspended a couple games.
He looks like he's trying to kill people this year.
Who?
Landeskog.
Yeah,
he had another questionable hit the other night. I can't remember who it was on, but he had another questionable hit. I was like, holy shit, this guy's trying to kill people this year.
Like,
he took Kirby Dach out really bad, and he got suspended.
Boy, that was.
And he had another questionable one just the other night, and I thought, wow, what's going on?
A lot of their top guys are producing, so that, let's see what Kemper's doing so far.
They've been allowing a lot of goals.
Kemper's got a 3.5 and an 8.94, so he's not off to a hot start. But all their top guys are producing. Like, Ranton's a point of game, McKinnon, Byram, Kadri, they're all point of game. So it's a matter of time before they get the ship turned around, and I wouldn't be worried one bit about Colorado.
Vegas is another team that we discussed earlier on, and they're off to a 1-3-0 start, and or actually 1-4-0, because I forgot to add that they lost to the Islanders last night, and they just seem out of sync. And I know they're dealing with injuries, and it sounds like Pacioretty is going to go on LTIR, and I know there's just troubles with scoring and stuff, but they're not doing anything right now. They're not keeping the puck out of the net, and I mean, there's just a lot going on.
When you look at Colorado and Vegas in particular, there are two teams that are struggling, but
Colorado.
I'd rather much have Colorado's offense than Vegas's, because dating back to last year's playoffs, like, this team can't score.
The difference between the two is that Colorado's going to come out of this, and Vegas might not.
So the problem is here, if you take Mark Stone and Pacioretty out of this lineup, the four group is just, like, you're going to have to rely on Riley and Marchessault and
Carlson.
William Carlson to be your premier scorers. That's not their job. Like, they're good complementary players, and they're being asked to play an above role. And I don't know, this team just can't score. Their power play, I think I saw their power play is 17 for their last 138. dating back to last season. That, like, they just can't score. This might be an insult to Vegas fans, but it's pretty similar to what fucking Montreal is doing right now. They have pretty much exact same goal differential, 10 goals for, 20 goals allowed. Those two teams just can't put the puck in the net, and Vegas is much more talented, which is a little shocking.
Montreal won 5-0, an 0-5 start. Panic button's been hit. They have no Price. They have no Weber. Coaching's getting questioned already. Is he on a hot seat already? Bergevin doesn't have a contract for next year, so he's a lame duck GM. Boy, where do we go with this one? But this team, I'm going to say it right now, they're not making the playoffs.
Oh, no, I mean, you're not really going out on a limb there.
No, I know. I didn't pick him to make the playoffs either. But still, I mean, for a team that went to the Cup finals, this is bad.
But that was a total crapshoot, though. Like, they just got in and just ran the table, which sometimes happens in the playoffs. But we really saw how important Carey Price was to Montreal, and you can tell. Like, no disrespect to Jake Allen, but, I mean, Jake Allen's not Carey Price. No Weber hurts. No Edmondson hurts.
I don't think goaltending's been the problem.
They lost their identity a little bit. I mean,
they totally did.
They lost their veteran leadership. Like, Corey Perry was important to that team last year. Eric Staal was important to that team in the room, I'm sure. And Weber's the ultimate leader, right? And he might be done.
It sounds like he's done. Yeah.
So, it's unfortunate that that's the way he went out. But, yeah, Montreal, not good.
Complete disaster. Complete. But not as bad as the two shitty teams we're going to talk about now. And you can't get much shittier than the Arizona Coyotes, who are 0-4-1. They're in full.
No, they're 0-5-1 now.
Okay, and they lost again tonight. Arizona. They lost again tonight, so they're 0-5-1. Full tank mode.
Looks like Chicago and Arizona is in a race for Shane Wright.
Well, Arizona will win because they're not even trying, it doesn't look like. It literally doesn't even look like they're trying.
So how about this? Did you see what fucking Jeremy Colitson did yesterday?
Hey, we're gonna get to that next. Let's talk about Arizona first. I gotta talk to you about that.
Jesus.
Number one pick is indefinitely in Arizona's sights. But here's the problem. They have no arena next year. This is gonna snowball into, you remember 2 years ago when everybody talked about in the hockey world was how much of a dumpster fire Ottawa is? This is the old Ottawa. Because Arizona is going to be a dumpster fire that's homeless.
I think that Arizona is in Houston next season. Is that a bold take?
It's bold in the fact that there's a lot of logistics that have to happen before that.
Think about it, though. Why did the league ask if their lease is getting renewed before the season? So they can look at their options. You know,
well, the league doesn't move them.
No, but
the owner
have a say in it, though.
No, they don't. The owner determines that because he owns it. The league has to approve it.
You're not saying that Gary and this owner and heavy contact.
Sure, they are. Sure, they are. But the league doesn't make the decision.
No, obviously it's all up to the owner.
But it has to be voted on by the Board of Governors. So.
Right. Yeah.
Agreed. That is a topic. I guarantee will be a headline on this show multiple times this year.
Hopefully we don't get death threats, but it could happen.
Wow. Now, the most screwed up organization this year is the Chicago Blackhawks. This team has the longest streak to start a season without leading a game in NHL history. They are 0-5-1. Their coach has booed during introductions at the home opener. This is a no-win situation. This owner went out and spent money this year. I don't know why they thought this was a team that could go anywhere, but they did. They went out and spent money to make a go at being competitive this year, and they look anything but competitive.
Yeah, Marc-Andre Fleury just getting left to the dead. I don't know. That Seth Jones trade might go down to be one of the worst in the league.
No, I don't think so.
Listen, though. So They get Sillinger, Cole Sillinger, who went 10th overall in the draft this year. Okay. You get, Adam Boqvist. Okay. Good young defenseman. They get a second round pick who Columbus turned into Jake Bean. And you get their first round pick this year. It's going to be a lottery pick. Did Columbus just hit the jackpot? Yeah, you traded Seth Jones. But fuck, you might get Shane Wright out of this damn trade. That might be the first overall pick just going to Columbus.
Yeah, it could be.
Boy.
They didn't protect it. They didn't lottery protect it. Protected. It's got to be.
I'll have to double check on that. It's got to be.
It's got to be lottery protected.
The first of next year. If it's not, boy, that's going to be an ugly trade for Chicago because this team is nowhere near the playoffs.
Nope. Man, I can't imagine that they wouldn't.
Let's look it up. Seth Jones trade. Let's see here. If Chicago's first round picks is one of the top, it's top two protected. If Chicago's first round pick in 2022 is one of the top two selection, the Blue Jackets will receive the Blackhawks first round pick. They didn't even lottery protect it. It's top two. So if it's a top five pick, it still goes to Columbus.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the deal. Columbus probably said, no, you know, you can protect top two, but that's it. You know, I mean, they have a say in that.
Hey, they might. They might get second and get to keep that lottery pick. I don't know.
Jesus. We'll see. I don't know. I mean, I was confused when they were going out and getting players this year. I mean, I understand the Seth Jones thing because that speeds up the rebuild, but it's like they shifted gears and forgot that they were in the middle of a rebuild.
They kind of, like, were like, hey, we got a chance to get Marc-Andre Fleury here. We got this Seth Jones shit on the table. Let's try to, you know, accelerate something here and see if, you know, we can sneak into the playoffs. And do you think that Montreal's run kind of made them go out and do something like that? Like, hey, look what Montreal's doing. If we go and get Fleury and go and get Seth Jones, maybe we can make a run like that too.
I don't know. I don't know. I think, you know, here's the deal. In all sports, we all mentally think the team that we're involved with is better than they really are. We all do. It's human nature. If you think the Canucks are better than they are, I think the Flames are probably better than they are. And you know these owners think their team is better than they are.
Yep, you have to be.
You know, and so their ownership group is probably like, well, we're just one or two pieces away from being fairly competitive, but we get a good goaltending and get one of the best defensemen in the league. What does that do for us? Well, it sounds like it does a lot, but it's still got to gel, though, right?
Right.
You know, so I don't know. It's kind of sad for Chicago. It is kind of sad, but I guess I don't feel too bad for them. They won two cups in 10 years, so kiss my ass, I guess. I don't know.
Three cups.
There. Take that.
Three cups in 5 years. Fuck.
Take that to the bank.
Yeah.
Time to go around the league. All right. Time to go around the league. And you know there's some veterans out there that are being dirty as hell this year. Joe Thornton gets fined $18.75 for spearing Boris Katavok from the Tampa Bay Lightning right in the balls.
Dirty. Super dirty.
Yeah. And then Ryan Getzlaf gets fined $1,000 for what I thought was a fairly dangerous trip on Minnesota's Erickson Atkin. I don't know. Shouldn't they sue be doing something other than causing shit like this?
Yeah, maybe the game's just too fast for those guys.
That's probably the truth. And both have always been hard on those players, but jeez.
I honestly thought Getzlaf was going to hang him up this year.
So did I.
I honestly did.
I think it'd have been a good out for him, though, too. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I just, it's crazy. Constant COVID crap. It seems like every day I open up the NHL media site And, you know, it's Jari and Letang out for Pittsburgh, Wheeler Scheifele out for Winnipeg, Kane Carpenter-Gustafson out for Chicago, Brendan Saad out for St. Louis. This is a false positive. This is a false positive. Now he's back. Now he's out again. Now he's back. But nobody's sick. I don't know. Are we going to deal with this all year?
I think so. I mean,
It's a bunch of crap. So, like, let's get this straight. Like, Americans and Canadians need to wake up here. We're testing our hockey players every other day or whatever, trying to see if they're COVID positive, but yet our police aren't being tested. Our people working at the hospital aren't being tested. Our people working at Walmart aren't being tested. Like, what the fuck? Like, does this make any logical sense at all? I don't know. And then you're getting false positives and players are sitting out and it's like, oh my God. Freaking play hockey.
Yeah, it seems like Scheifele, and I think Scheifele and Wheeler both do have COVID, though. They both have symptoms, so.
You know, it's like back and forth every other day. And it seems like the list grows every day. And all these guys are vaccinated.
Yeah, I think they said, like, what, 98% is vaccinated?
There's one player left. Tyler Bertuzzi is the only player left.
Yeah.
Because Blackwood's got one dose in him now. But we're still having COVID cases. Does that tell us something, too?
To be honest, dude, I'm just, like, so sick of this.
I know. So let's talk about something else. Kotkaniemi goes back to Montreal, and I thought it was hilarious.
He scored a goal. First as a Hurricane.
And they win. And did you see the tweet after the game?
They trolled him. Yeah, they tweeted like
Carolina
in the draft.
No. Carolina tweeted, all it said was, did the Habs lose.com? And it was a link to a site where you could go buy t-shirts. And I loved every minute of it.
Yeah, but did you see, like, when you click on that link, it said Carolina sucks. So I don't know if that got changed after, but
did you see David Ayers was in the house tonight when Toronto came?
Oh.
Carolina had him ring the bell before the game.
They're just the king of trolls.
Hey, I told you, I've always hated Carolina.
King of trolls.
And hey, you were always like, oh, I like the stupid.
The older fan like yourself don't like the social media. I love it. I like the social media wars and stuff.
Oh, I don't mind social media wars. I get a kick out of it. I love it. I don't like the childish, you know, the freaking, what do they call it? The surge or whatever. Surge, I don't like that shit, but, I don't mind the social media. I love it. You know, if I was a league, I would be like, hey, I'll throw you guys a little bonus if you guys chirp each other a little bit. It gets the fans more into it. It's like it makes the games better, right? Doesn't it give you excitement? Like, people tuned into the Canes-Habs game the other night because of the Kotkaniemi bullshit.
And that's
like, just for that reason.
Yep.
So I think it's great. I think it's great for the league. It's the freaking WWE factor, man. I'm serious. If I owned a junior hockey team, you're going to think I'm crazy for this. I don't care. If I owned a junior hockey team, you know what I would tell them the first game of every season?
Did you watch that Trashers show?
I have not. I have had multiple people tell me I have to.
Have to watch it.
So if I owned a junior team, Blake, you know what I would do? I wouldn't have a goon team at all. By no means would I have a goon team. But I would tell my team the opening weekend of the year, right? I'd say, listen, guys, I need 3 goals and I need 3 fights tonight.
That's what the Trashers did their first ever game.
And
it was just a line ball right off.
No. I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that. I want like a scrums in front of the net to turn into fights. I want 3 of them the night one, and I want goals too. And if you could somehow get both those in your first game of the year, your attendance will be 25% higher the rest of the season.
It's not realistic. That's not realistic, though.
What do you mean it's not realistic?
Because that can't happen every game so fast.
No. Like, I didn't. No, Blake.
You're not fighting this game. Oh, I'm not.
Blake, it's like a crash at the races, dude. It doesn't happen every night. But people still know that it can happen. So they keep coming.
I guess.
I'm serious. I am completely serious. Jack Eichel. No, the solution never never dies.
And here we go again.
I brought it up for two reasons tonight. I, for some reason, think this week we're going to get resolution. Whether they're either going to
trade,
they're going
to get surgery.
Well, they're going to announce that it'll go to an arbitration to determine if he can have the surgery or not, or he'll be traded.
Is that where we're at right now? Mm-hmm. An arbitrator for a surgery?
Well, they're going to be, because it's in the CBA. And it has to be in the CBA, because we can't have players just saying, well, I'm not healthy, you got to still pay me my $10 million.
Right.
Yeah. So there's a reason it's in there, and I agree that it's in there. But in this instance, there's medical professionals recommending this surgery.
Yeah.
So they're going to file a grievance with the National Hockey League Players Association, and then they'll determine if the surgery is good or not good. But I got a feeling that Buffalo's value is going down, and I didn't hear it today on Fan 590 out of Toronto, but Elliot Friedman said that Calgary seems to be the front runner as of right now, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I don't want that guy in my division. For another 5 years. No way.
Why? Because he's too good?
He can go out east.
Because he's too good? Well, there's more likelihood that he goes west than east.
He can go to the Rangers.
Why? Let me ask you this. Would you be afraid if you went to Calgary?
Jack Eichel's the top 10 player in the league. That wouldn't be ideal.
But he's injured, though.
Yeah, but he's still going to be in a Flames uniform for the next five seasons. Fuck.
So you wouldn't like that?
Hell no.
Well, I don't have to worry about your team getting him because you guys couldn't afford his skates.
Zip it.
You couldn't. Hey,
some Canucks news. I don't know if this is true or not. Matt Sakaris reporting that Travis Hamonic is in town and will be on his way shortly with the intention of resuming his NHL career.
Well, yeah, because the team said you're either better report or we're not paying you.
Listen, I don't give a shit. This guy.
I loved it.
This guy makes us a better team.
Yeah.
And the quicker that he gets here, the quicker it fucking helps the Canucks.
I loved him. I was his biggest fan, but I'm not anymore because he's yanking teams around.
Think about it. I think about it this way. Poolman and Hughes have been solid. But Hamonic worked really well with Hughes. Poolman slots down with OEL, and then Tyler Myers plays with Rathbone. It's pretty good. That's pretty solid.
So how long can you trust this guy?
I don't know. But
what he left Calgary hanging. He left Vancouver. Charles
Hamonic's a top four defenseman.
Was. We got
Kyle fucking Burrows playing on this third pairing.
I know. You're not a very good hockey team.
Yeah, and Travis Hamonic makes us better.
If he plays, Blake, like he flaked out on Calgary. He flaked out on you. Like, his heart's obviously not in the plane.
Yeah, I know.
If his heart was in plane, he'd have been there at camp, ready to roll. Like, it's just not an ideal situation, and it sucks. It sucks. Vancouver's gotten their – I don't defend Vancouver very often, but they've gotten their balls yanked on this one, and it's not fair.
Yeah, and I'm just hoping that he can come back and he can contribute and plays good defense, and I'll take 70% of Hamus then, or Hamus, Hamonic.
You want Hamus back?
Over. back. I'll take 70% of Hamonic over 100% Kyle Burrows.
Yeah. Two crazy plays I wanted to talk to you about here before we roll on into three questions. Yep. Matthew Tkachuk.
Yep.
Jumps while he's in the player's bench, jumps into the air and bats a puck that's going into the stands back into play. There would have been a penalty on Backlund for clearing the puck out of the defensive zone. Now, what had happened, I was like a little bit like, did I just see that?
Yeah.
And then they gave him a penalty, which I thought they would. Well, which I just thought they would just give Backlund the penalty because the puck was going out of play. But they gave it to Tkachuk.
It didn't go out of play, though.
But they gave it to Tkachuk for. It did go out of play because he was out of play when he touched it. It'd have been no different than a fan batting it into this over the glass again. What the hell's the difference? He's out of play. Tkachuk wasn't on the ice.
Yeah, I know.
It's no different.
That's a tough trade. That's a tough trade for the Flames.
So what happens? I started thinking about it. What? No, that's a great trade. We don't want. I'd rather have Tkachuk in the penalty box than Backlund. Backlund kills penalty. Tkachuk doesn't.
Oh.
Okay, so let me ask you this question.
You hated Tkachuk. Sorry about that.
I don't hate Tkachuk. He's just not playing real good. So what happens if a fan knocks the puck back into play?
Nothing. Tkachuk knocked it down with his stick.
I know.
To keep the puck from going over the glass.
So did you not giggle, though, and laugh and think, how did you even think of that?
Funny. It's definitely something that I haven't seen in a long time. So
Marcus,
I think I've never seen that.
Marcus Foligno, Winnipeg and Minnesota played a pretty spirited game early on in the season.
Overtime, right?
Yeah, it was like 6-5. It was Elliot Friedman said it was probably the best game we're going to see this year. Marcus Foligno, freaking Superman punches Brandon Dillon, like.
The return of the Kevin Bieksa punch, baby.
But what in the hell?
Kevin Bieksa started that in Vancouver. I'm just like, holy shit. He connected. When he did the Superman punch, he connected hard.
Yeah, I know. But, like, did you not think it was goofy as all get up, though?
It is goofy, but it works. You catch him off guard and catch him sleeping. Could be lights out for you, buddy.
Lights out. You ready for three questions?
Let's do it.
It's time for three questions.
All right, Blake. I had three questions last week. You get to fire them at me this week. Question number one is on you. Go.
How many games do you give the Toronto Maple Leafs before a change happens here?
Oh, like what do you mean? Like losses or games or what do you mean?
Like losses, like if the losses keep piling up, like do you think there's going to be a drastic change?
No, I don't.
Really?
I don't, and here's why. Here's why I don't. Dubas has such a relationship with his head coach. And Dubas knows that if
he goes, he's gone.
Exactly. So I think Dubas is like, we're either going to ride this out together or we're going to ride her off into the sunset together.
So
what are the two?
I think they're going to evaluate the team after 20 games, see where they're at. And if they're still not scoring goals, I think there's going to be a trade to shake things up, like a Mitch Marner out the door. I honestly think that.
Yeah, but that's a hard trade to do right now.
It is, but like, I think they're gonna explore maybe a Morgan Riley, a pending UFA that's probably not coming back, gets traded. Something to maybe shock the system. Riley's on a little bit of a more of a team friendlier deal, or like they just signed.
Does Keith that make them deal. Better though?
I don't know, but it's like something's got to give here. Like this team needs something. Like they aren't.
I don't disagree
goals.
With you on that, but
they just look lifeless out there.
But you
they
can't. You can't trade life
together.
But see, like the problem is, we all think we can fix our team by trading in life, and you can't. If your team has no guts and glory, they have no guts and glory. You just can't. You can't trade that into the locker room. Yeah. When you're key, I mean, because no matter who they bring in, Tavares, Matthews, and Marner are still the guys driving the boat. And if the guys driving the boat are not giving it what they need to, then you're pretty much screwed, aren't you?
Yeah, it is.
I saw a funny.
What were you going to say?
I saw a funny tweet today that said John Tortorella spotted in Toronto.
And boy, that's the last coach that team needs.
Oh, I laugh, cool. though, but that might be the coach that gets them to win.
You think?
I don't know. Blake, look what he's done with other teams.
Austin Matthews out there blocking shots.
Is it a bad – would it be a bad – think about that, Blake.
I don't know. Maybe that's the play. Fucking John Torch to
really?
Take the leash to the promised
land. All he has to do is come walk in and say, if you don't like it, I don't give a shit. You're signed here and you're going to play my way or you're going to sit.
If you don't like it, you're sitting.
We're losing right now with you. What the hell is the difference?
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Question number two. Of teams with a young core, okay, so I'm talking Anaheim, mm-hmm. Ottawa, Detroit,
mm-hmm.
who is the closest team to the playoffs?
You're probably going to laugh. Anaheim.
You're going to say Detroit. Anaheim.
Top five goalie in the league.
Terrible division.
They're the closest to a playoff spot. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't doubt it if they didn't make it this year.
No, fuck that. That might be a little... Okay, we're not doing bold predictions here. Settle the fuck down. I'm
serious. Look at that roster.
If Ottawa had a goalie, I would say Ottawa.
I know, but look at that roster, though. I don't write Ottawa. Ottawa has a good chance of finishing ahead of Toronto at the rate we're going.
I like Anaheim, too.
I like their
core. And Troy Terry's really coming into his own to start the year.
And Zegras looks pretty at home.
Yeah. What did you think of the atmosphere in Seattle the other night?
I had that written down to talk about, and I skipped it. You know, I thought it was good. I didn't see the beginning of the game. I got home at the end of two. Yeah, during the intermission, the second intermission. So I watched all of the third period. Hell of a hockey game, boy. I thought Seattle was going to win that.
Yeah, you missed the Canucks getting absolutely dominated in that second period.
Really?
Oh, boy. Yeah. Demko stood on his head.
Demko looked great in the third, though, did you? Because I thought...
Honestly, the Canucks don't win without Demko.
Really?
I thought he stole the game, especially in that second period.
See, I didn't see the second. Oh, boy. I didn't see the second.
Connor Garland has just turned into be just such a fan favorite. He's just such a little weasel out there. Like, and he's got 8 points in six games.
Yeah.
He's just producing at a level that I haven't seen from a guy that size in a while.
He's going to meet his maker, though, this year. I can tell you that right now.
But, boy, oh, boy. I mean,
he might be number 16 in a white jersey with a red numbers.
When Vince, is he going to get him in the press box?
We might play him just that game.
When Vince Dunn scored the first goal in Seattle, I was looking forward to hearing their goal horn. The building was so damn loud, couldn't even hear the damn horn.
What is it, a coffee pot brewing or what is it?
It's like a boat horn. It's actually pretty cool. I had to go on YouTube and look it up because I couldn't hear the fucking horn. It was so loud, but
nothing's like better than the cannon. Like, so
it's just different. It's just different. They got two jumbotrons in each goal line. It's just a different stadium. Thought it was a really good atmosphere. I think that's going to be one of the best rivalries in the league, like for years to come.
One fucking game, Blake, dude.
No, but I'm saying if both Seattle and Vancouver are good in the same division, it's going to be off the charts.
Yeah.
Like, look at, it could be like Edmonton and Calgary. It could, because they're so close.
Takes decades.
They're only 2 hours apart. They're only 2 hours apart, though.
Well, that's like saying Winnipeg, Minnesota is as good as the Battle of Alberta. You could argue in the last couple years it is better.
8 hours away.
It's right across their border towns, man.
Buddy.
8 hours in a car.
Tough. Yeah.
So they're the closest two teams in that whole freaking area.
I'm talking about fans that will travel back and forth and go to the games and create rivalries. Yes.
I don't know.
Dude, yes. It's going to get big because of how close it is.
Look at
the Kings and the Ducks.
Yeah, that was good.
Sharks-Ducks is an amazing rivalry. Yeah. Look how close they are. Like, it's shit. Like, I'm not saying, right out of the gate it's going to be a crazy rivalry, but I think it could get to that point.
Yeah.
Oh, one more thing. What do you think of the I think I saw this on Twitter. I'm not sure if this is true. They're raising a Seattle Metropolitan Stanley Cup banner from 1917.
They're not. They talked about it. They talked about it, though.
I was about to say, that is the dumb. Okay, then Vancouver Millionaires. Vancouver has a cup.
Well, they better do that because that'd be the only cup. That'd be the only cup the Canucks have.
Stanley Cup champions. Fuck. Oh, my God. Thank God.
God, it's not true. They should do that. They should do that so I could quit here in about 2011.
Oh, my God. Right? You're the one that always brings it up, not me.
Listener question from Marcus Muzzotti, Indianapolis, Indiana. Blake, who is the most underrated player in the National Hockey League? I thought about it for 2 seconds, and it came to my mind, and it's a good one. I'm going to tell you the most underrated player. I need some Family Feud music. Do I need them?
Can I say Barkov, or is he properly rated?
Blake, seriously. Barkov is not underrated anymore. Not 2 years ago he was.
I want to say it.
You want me to tell you mine?
Who's you? Actually... Ryan O'Reilly's pretty underrated.
Yeah. When I first saw this question, I was like, ooh, I don't know.
Roman Josi, too. I don't feel like he gets talked about as much.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. Beat this one, though. Kyle Connor. 260 points in 310 NHL games.
I feel like he's and properly rated, though.
Nobody knows who Kyle Connor is. Go around the league and ask fan bases all over. They don't know who Kyle Connor is. They don't even know who he is. They know in Winnipeg, obviously, but they don't know. They don't know.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
You know what I found myself this week noticing when I watched hockey?
You know who's underrated, too, is Sebastian Aho.
Yeah?
He is, fuck. Like, I feel, the reason why I think Barkov's still underrated is because,
Because he's in Florida.
He's in Florida.
I would agree with you to a point.
Nobody talks about him.
No, I would agree with him.
Nobody talks about him. Oh, you look at the stats. Oh, fuck. Barkov had 98 points this year?
Every year.
Oh, what's going on here? And it's like, yeah, this guy's a stud. Hello.
Yeah.
Where you been?
Yeah.
I still think he's underrated.
You know what I found myself this week doing, though, Blake? Is I was watching NHL teams, and I'm like, and I haven't watched this team forever. Like, why does it feel like I haven't watched Islanders forever? And it's like, because all I watched the last year was the fucking North Division. It's kind of nice to have it back to normal, and I didn't think I'd ever say that, because last year I was all about this North Division, and now I'm glad we're back to normal hockey.
Yep.
Next week we'll continue with a deeper dive into the regular season as we learn more about those surprise teams, with most of them having three or four games before we get back to talking hockey next week. First 2 weeks have been flat out off the charts good. Check us out on Inside Edge Hockey Media Group on YouTube. Get on over to Apple Podcasts, rate, review, subscribe. Get on over to debatehockey.com for all the archived episodes. And you know what? Enjoy this week's hockey action. Blake and I are back next week to talk to you a little bit more about NHL hockey. Get connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey, and follow the hosts on Twitter at Brad Brood and at Friars_Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook, and check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at debatehockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out debatehockey.com and on Twitter at Debate Hockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.